your Bibles this evening and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 126 tonight. Verse 126. It's great to be in the house of God, to gather around the Word of God. Amen. You know, and some people say, you know, it's just exciting to be here. Brother Coe mentioned his prayer. So exciting to be here, hear the Word of God. I mean, I'm excited to hear what's going to be said, too. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say tonight. I'm just joking. I know. But it's a blessing to study for these and to learn from them, because I cannot effectively preach it unless I understand it in my own heart, my own life. And tonight, we're going to look at verse 126 through 128. You may have noticed that we're no longer going chronologically through Psalm 119. We're kind of skipping around a little bit. We were in verses 146 last week. Now we're back a couple of sections, back to 126 through 128 tonight. And last week we looked at the three cries of David, how David cried out to the Lord and besought the Lord. Now tonight we're going to be looking at another passage, and be looking at verses 126 through 128. And the title of the message tonight is Pick a Side. You know, there are always two sides to everything, isn't there? There are two sides to an argument, we say. There are two sides to a coin. There's a front and a back. There's two sides in a war. There's the side of right and the side of wrong. Sometimes both sides are wrong, but in the eyes of the individuals, one side's right, one side's wrong. That's why they're having war. And so there's always two sides to a battle. There's always two sides to a relationship. And in our life for the Lord and in the life that we have in this world, in the short time that we are here, the Bible says our life is but a vapor. And as we live our life, we're on one of two sides. And I know I've mentioned this many, many times over, but we're either on God's side or on the devil's side. Very simple, and the Bible's very clear about it. We call it the side of good and evil, if you want to make it more generic. But that the side of good, the only true good, is God. God is good, and He is good all the time, and He is the only true good. He's the only one that has the truth that is in this world. Now, some people say then this will happen in the last times. The Bible is very clear about this, that people will call good evil and evil good. And we see that happening. And that has to do with what we're going to be speaking with about tonight in Psalm 119, verse 126. In that, David makes a request in verse 126. Then verses 127 and 28, he states which side he's on. And we're going to look at that. Why did he make this statement? If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we'll read and begin reading in verse 126. You read and follow along with me as I read. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Let's ask the Lord's blessing before we continue this evening. Let's pray together. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And Lord, we pray that we come here tonight on your side. We want to be on your side, Lord, for you are the only winning side. We thank you, dear Lord, for redeeming us from our sin. We pray, dear Lord, for those listening tonight by way of the stream or in the auditorium tonight. Perhaps they're not sure of their eternal destiny. I pray, dear Lord, that they would get that settled tonight. You wish to save them, and Lord, we wish to see them come to know you this evening. But Lord, I pray for also those of us here that are saved and know we're saved or know we're on our way to heaven. We've been following after you the best way that we know how. And Lord, perhaps we did not realize that there are some things we're involved with that might be on the wrong side of things. And Lord, I pray that we'd be like David. Lord, we want to see you work. I pray to you, Lord, tonight that you would stir our hearts and that we would be ready to be thy hands and thy feet this evening. I pray that you would encourage us tonight and that we would stand for that which is right. I pray that you would give me the right words to say this evening. Help me to be clear and direct. But, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be touched by thy Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit, touch us and cleanse us, Lord. We pray that you would guide and direct us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And the message is titled, Pick a Side. Now, there are times when we have to pick a side. Maybe when you were in school or when you were growing up, and that there was a dispute maybe between a classmate and yourself, or maybe two individuals, maybe someone you knew and then someone else, and that there was a disagreement or an argument or a challenge was made, and you as an individual had a decision to make, either to stand with that person who was, maybe there's two friends there, which friend are you going to stand with? Who are you going to be loyal to? Are you going to stand with your family or stand against your family? And loyalty, many times when we're dealing with the Word of God and we're dealing with the Bible, that there are times that we have to stand against that which is wrong because God says that it is wrong. And we must stand with that which is right because God says that it is right. And our loyalty is to the Lord. And tonight we see where David's loyalty relied on the Lord. Now, verse 126, and we see first, and if you're taking notes, our request for action. That's our first point tonight, our request for action. Verse 126 is very clear. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Here we see a request of David for the Lord to work on his behalf. There is a consistent theme throughout many Psalms that David was at times oppressed by the wicked. And we see that, and we see the pressures upon him, especially in this psalm, that he had the pressure of those around him, of those that were in opposition to God's law. As king, he had the Philistines that would oppress Israel, and that were the wicked ones that would oppress. There were other enemies round about. Saul, in the early part of his life, oppressed him and treated him in an evil way. And all through Psalm 19, we see it repeated often, the call for God's action in deliverance and judgment. Now, we see the call to action in this phrase, and we see something here. And there's a reason why David wants God to work. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Comma. That's end of thought. Why? Here's the reason. He said, Lord, I wish for you to work. I look for you to work in your judgment. I wish for you, Lord, to bring the judgment that these richly deserve and those that have made void thy law. Now, the word void here, we know, can mean an empty thing, but this is a particular group of people. Now, there are those that sin in ignorance of the law of God. They don't know the law of God, they don't know the Bible, and they sin in ignorance. Even Christians at times, we fall and make mistakes and we sin. This is not talking about those categories. This is talking about those that make void, those that make the law of God of none effect. That they take God's law, openly rebel against it. This is not what we want. We do not want God's law. We want our own law. And that they take God's law, throw it out, and say, I don't want this. This is the way I want things. I'm rejecting the law of God. I'm making it void. I am saying this is unconstitutional. Oh, that's a phrase we hear a lot, isn't it? That good and genuine laws are declared unconstitutional because someone doesn't like them. And no matter how long we say to God, well, your laws have no authority over me. Your laws have no jurisdiction over me. No matter how loud we say it, how many times over we say it, it doesn't change the fact that they do have authority over us and they are for us to obey. And God calls those that go to this point. This is different than ignoring God's law. This is outright rejecting it, rebelling against it, and saying, no, I don't want this. I want my own law, the law of an atheist or an agnostic, that say, well, God's laws have no binding authority on me. This is who David is speaking of. In that, they void God's law so that they can go do what they want. And they can act in the way they want. And David asks the Lord, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. Why? Because the forces of evil were advancing. They were gaining ground. That they were becoming strong. And God needed to move. Now, David's faith here is seen. And he knew God would work. Why did he request this of God? This was not a call of desperation necessarily. Yes, was the situation serious? It more than likely was. But David had faith. He called upon God in boldness and confidence. And we looked at this last week because David had faith that God would work. Amen? If we call upon God to do a work in faith, He promises, we see Jesus taught it, that whatsoever we ask of Him, we will receive it. As the Lord, we wish to see You work in seeing people saved. You know what? I think that's a prayer that God wants to answer. Amen? I think, Lord, bring revival to our land. Bring revival to our church. Bring revival, Lord. I want You to work in my life. I want You to work in this individual's life. And we pray in faith. And as David cried out to God, we see that faith. Now, notice once again, we looked at this last week, and notice once again that David did not instruct God in what he should do. He just said, Lord, we need You to work. It's time, Lord. We need You to work. The time has come. And David saw fit to let God be God and do what he thought was best. Amen? That's the best way to pray, I think, is to let God be God and let Him work in the way that He wishes to. But David, in faith, is calling it up to God. Now, this is not an arrogant, all right, God, it's time for You to wake up and it's time for You to get going. No, it's that, Lord, the time has come. Will You please work? And God many times acts after man rebels against Him for a time, but before man finds success in his efforts. We must understand that God does give a space of a time of repentance, a time of allowing them to come back. But David is saying, Lord, the time is over. It is time for Your judgment to come. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse number 1. Proverbs 29 and verse number 1. And we ask God to work, and we'll get to this in a moment, but are we willing to do the work of God ourselves? When we ask God to work, He uses people. His Spirit works among us, yes, but many times He uses people. Are we willing to just ask God to work, but not willing to do anything about having feet to our prayers? Proverbs 29, verse 1, He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So there comes a time, right, that God is merciful. God gives a time, a space of repentance, but those that have what? Hardened their neck. Once again, this is talking about people who have made void God's law. They have hardened their neck. They have rebelled. God has convicted them, and God has brought the truth to them, but they harden their neck against it, and they say, no, God's law has no authority over me. They have made void His law. And what does God's word say? Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Suddenly, God worked, and God judged. God always judges sin. And this passage speaks of the person that is openly abolishing God's law. Look at Psalm 7 and verse number 6. Psalm 7 and verse number 6. And David is calling upon God for God to work. To work in his life also, to work in the life of his nation. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies. And awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. To awake. And I would say now is the time for God to work in our country. On our country increasingly, and we have seen it, we're thankful for some who are standing up and trying to push that backwards with the agenda of many. And we have to understand something, that many times we get caught up into the politics of parties, right, whether Republican or Democrat or Independent. And now I do believe the Republican Party most of the time has values that align with the Bible, most of the time. But the day that they cease to be, this is the day I cease to be Republican. Because we're loyal to the God, loyal to God and loyal to His Word, not a political party. Amen? Amen. That's the way Christians ought to be. We ought to vote according to the dictation of our conscience and the Holy Spirit of God. But there is an agenda going forward. Our nation was founded on biblical principle. Our nation was founded on freedom. Our nation was based on the laws of God. But now there are judges and different ones standing up and saying, well, that law is unconstitutional. It is forcing Christianity on people to have prayer before school events or prayer at different times. And they're saying, no, we will not have God's law over us. We will make void the law of God. And we will stand against it. And there are an increasing number of people in our political system that they stand and they welcome things that are openly an abomination to God. Sodomy, the immorality of today, abortion, drunkenness, drugs, no morals at all of these things. And we see increasingly a generation of people that have made void God's law. The God church doesn't mean anything to me. The Bible means nothing to me. God means nothing to me. I'll do what I want. They stand in the place of God's judgment. They stand in place of God's judgment. And it's a time for us to call for the Lord to work among us. Now is the time also for God to work in our churches. Oh, what the apathy that we have today. You know, we can have Abortion Sunday and we can talk about the atrocities of abortion and over 65 million babies since the 1970s. Life has been extinguished in this country, and we hear it so often we don't even bat an eyelash anymore. Oh, yeah, that's just the way it is, Pastor. Let me reinforce that. 65 million people. That's more than all of New York City. Just gone. Today, we were down in Round Rock, or down in Austin. My wife was having an appointment for the baby and saw for the first time our third child on ultrasound. And that's just an exciting time to see that and see the baby. The baby's doing well. Bethany's doing great. Thank you for your prayers. Keep praying for her if you could. And the doctor is very pleased with how she's doing. But that's an exciting thing to see that. 8 weeks, a little baby. You can see its head and its arms and its legs. It's alive. People extinguish it. Oh, that's not a person. I don't know how those people sleep at night. I don't understand that. Because they have made void God's law that He gives and takes life. Our country stands in a place of judgment because they have allowed such atrocities to go on under rights that we have. We have the right to extinguish a human life. We have no right. That's murder. We have no right. God is the giver and taker of life. But some, even in Christian circles, in churches, don't believe that's so. Well, women have reproductive rights and all of these things. A woman has no right to extinguish the life that is within her. Just like I have no right in here today to take a gun and to extinguish anybody's life in here. Well, that's murder, Pastor. What's the difference? There is none. That is why after someone loses a video game at a tournament can go and be so upset, he takes a gun and he kills people. Because there is no idea of life or that anyone can take someone else's life. We're just animals anyway. We're just like a dog or a rat. That's making void the law of God. And we have to decide what side we're on. And we just can't stand idly by and say, well, this isn't our place. This isn't our battle to fight. That's for politicians to decide. If you let politicians decide, you won't have any rights left. But it's not about that. It's about standing on what is right and wrong. What is right according to God and wrong according to God. There's apathy in our churches today. A lack of conviction. You know, sometimes we're appalled and saddened and heartbroken over children that once they get out of the home, that they go to college or they go to Christian college even, and they go astray. And sometimes we're quick to blame other things. And you know, the trouble is that they never established a real relationship with the Lord. It just simply showed them what they really were. You have to be careful of that. And there's a lack of conviction that we can come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and go through the youth group and go through Sunday schools and still have not one ounce of conviction, go through the motions. And when the restraints are gone, we do what we want. No conviction. No reality. And many times, no true salvation. a tolerance for sin. I was at a meeting today, and I hope you know that when I talk about, you know, the chaplaincy and different things, I have great respect for them, but it is an interfaith organization, and I don't participate in that side of it. I hope I'll let you know that. Your pastor does not believe that, that we can get along with pagans and Muslims and all of that, because they don't believe in the God of the Bible. Amen? So I don't believe in that, but many of them do, and they say things like, well, we all just need to get along. We all just need to help each other out. And they look at me, and I'm like, I smile at them and everything. I'm not saying anything because we stand on the Bible. But there are such a tolerance for sin in churches today that sin is not called what it is, a sin, even in our independent Baptist churches. And we need to be careful of that. But most importantly, a lack of loyalty to Christ. So we're loyal to the church, we're loyal to the pastor, we're loyal to a program, but we're not loyal to Christ. That's who we need to be loyal to. The one who suffered and bled and died to save us. We need to pray as David did for God to do a mighty work. And he can. But are we willing to do that? Do we think to do that? Well, that comes down to the second part of the passage here in verse 127. Through verse 128, as second point tonight, a pledge of allegiance, if you will. We all know the pledge to our flag, the pledge of allegiance. To where was this flag right here? It's okay, you can respond. What flag is this right here? American flag. And we say, when we stand up, we hear the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see? And we stand up, we put our hand over our heart. You know, a lot of people don't do that anymore. Oh, they dare to kneel before our American flag for people suffering, bled, and died? I think we need to stand up for it. Amen. I'm not getting political. That's just what I think. That we need to have respect to those that died for it. Because I don't think people understand. They do this whole kneeling thing, but they don't understand the symbolism of disrespect it is in a military setting. How disrespectful it is. They don't understand that. Now, we stand and we pledge allegiance to our country. Now, maybe just some get up and say it in school and don't think much about it. But when you get older, you begin to think about it a little bit. That you're pledging allegiance to willing to die for your country if need be, whether you're in the military or not. David was making his own pledge of allegiance. Psalm 119, verse number 127. We see that he asked God to do a work in verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. Verse 127. Therefore, now, whenever you see therefore, you always look what's happening before. Therefore means because of something that happened before. Because of the statements made previously, I am making this statement. He has asked God to do a work, to stand up and either bring revival or to stand up in judgment against those who have made void the laws of God. And he is letting God know where he stands and everyone else. So he's making a public declaration. This is where I stand. Just like Joshua did in Joshua chapter. Oh, flew out of my head. Is it chapter 1? As for me and my house, 15. I think it's near the end of the book. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know. Been a long day. It flew out. But he made a declaration. You make that the law of God is more precious than any worldly possession. More precious than all of that. He says, I love it. Verse 128, another part. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Oh, this is I could park here for a couple of sermons right here. Now, remember that God, if you were here on Thursday night last week, we're at the Bible study. What kind of statements does God like to make? What kind of statements? Chelsea, remember? No, oh no. I'll put you on the spot. God likes to make all-inclusive statements. You notice that, especially in creation. He has all power, all might. And so many times in the Bible you don't see many all-inclusive statements by man. You know, it's always dangerous in a relationship to tell your husband, well, he always does this, you never do this. It's a very dangerous thing. Don't do that. But David is making an all-inclusive statement about the law of God. that he just didn't pick out certain parts that he liked. He didn't have favorite pet passages, but he had respect and an awe, and he loved, what does it say here, I esteem all thy precepts. Not my precepts, but thine, the Bible's, God's precepts. Concerning some things to be sort of right. Now, all things to be right. Everything concerning all things to be right. And I hate, once again, another all-inclusive statement, every false way. Every way that is false, because every false way leads to the pit. Because that's the devil's way. The devil puts the false way in there. God doesn't put the false ways there. You know, the devil wants you to think that God put a crooked trail there for you to trip on. No, the devil put it there for you. And the devil made a way. Or it was a trail of someone else who tried his own way. But instead, David is saying his allegiance is to God. He pledges allegiance to the Bible. You know, we have that too. Some of you maybe don't know the pledge of the Bible, but we pledge allegiance to the Bible. We do that on patriotic days, 4th of July, Memorial Day, and so on. We do a pledge of the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible. God's holy word. You know where we get that? Many of the Psalms. That David, he pledged allegiance to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible. God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Where both of those verses come from? Psalm 119. They're sections of two verses. We've already looked at them. A pledge of allegiance to the Bible. He's saying, I'm picking a side, Lord. I'm on your side. I'm on your law side. No one is going to turn me away from that side. He was pledging allegiance. It wasn't the first time he did, nor would it be the last. You know, it's good for us to repeat that which side we're on, to get excited about which side we're on. Well, I made that decision a long time ago, Pastor. We'll make it again and get excited about it. Amen? Amen. We need to get excited that we're on God's side. Hey, we're on the winning side. Though the evil and all the devil looks like he's going to win, he's going to lose. Read the end of the book. We win. Amen. Aren't you glad? You know, you can go to the end of the book and have a good ending. New heaven and new earth. Jesus has brought us all to heaven. The devil is bound in hell forever. We win. Why do you have such long faces then? Right? We get so down in the mouth about what's going on in our life, we win. Amen? Amen. Pastor Harvey's getting excited. Amen. But where's your allegiance? What is it to? As a soldier of the United States Army, your allegiance is the United States of America. It's not to Russia, not to China, India, or some other country. It's the United States of America. If it's not, something bad's going to happen. Right? You see MJ or Article 15, something bad's going to happen if you're, hey, Russia, guess what kind of tank we have? Hey, look at this. Let me send email you some plans. Suffice it to say, you're not going to be in the army real long. You're not going to be free very long either. And have a very long time in jail. Why is disloyalty? You are hurting the interest, the security and the interest and the safety of your fellow soldiers of the United States of America. Right? The same is true in our Christian life. Which side are you on? Our allegiance ought to be with Christ at all times. And I was actually talking with the chaplain there and was talking with someone else there and made a very, very true statement. To the best kind of soldier in the United States Army is a Christian. One that loves God and reads their Bible every day and has a loyalty to Christ. That's the best kind of soldier we can have. Amen. Very rare to hear a chaplain say that. And just very upfront about it. That's the best kind of Christian. Or the best kind of soldier is a Christian soldier. Amen. And that's the best kind of soldier for the Lord is one that is loyal to Him. That no one, you know, we have this idea that we can be talked out of our loyalty. You know what? No one on this earth can talk me out of being an American. Amen? Amen? And no one, I don't care what they say about America. I know America has made some mistakes. We're still the greatest country in the world. Amen? You know, we have these stupid people getting up there. I shouldn't call them stupid, but they are. So America was never really that great. And all these people. Oh. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox for that one. But no one's going to talk me out of being an American. But for some people, oh, that pastor, absolutely, but they can talk you out of being a Christian. Oh, they can talk you out of being loyal to Christ. You know what? It's not easy being a Christian in the army. It's not. Talk to somebody today. And how they're made fun of and mocked. Call them the Jesus person. Mocks them. It's tough. Pray for them. Amen. Need to pray for them. Not all of them endure that, but a lot of them do. Oh, come do this with us. Nope, not going to do it. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Amen. We need more people to stand up and say that. We need our young people to stand up. No, I'm not going to watch that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to listen to that because I'm a Christian. Amen? Better teach your kids some loyalty to Christ. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. I have to hurry. I've only got 5 minutes left, but we'll hurry through the end here. I could go on for a while, but I won't. The one thing about the Wednesday night program, I think all of you are thankful for it. We don't have hour and a half sermons on Wednesday night anymore. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3. I don't know, this is one of those ones I was studying for you just get excited about. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 3. But the Lord is faithful and will establish you and keep you from evil. Amen. He's faithful to you. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 20, that He will establish us, and guess what? He's going to keep us from evil. Praise God for that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without a wavering in your allegiance, without a wavering in your loyalty. Why? Why is that? Look what's inside the parentheses. For He is faithful that promised. Promised what? Our salvation in heaven. Jesus promised it to us. Jesus made us new. Jesus has been loyal to us every step of the way. And we should be loyal to Him. Now, what's the cause of this allegiance? It's number 3. Look back at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Why did He have this allegiance? Why have so many when our country called was in need to go to war or in peacetime. Soldiers have signed up and sailors and airmen, Coast Guard, Marines have signed up to serve our country when our country was in need. You know why? They loved America. Amen? And David was loyal to God because David loved God. David loved God. We see that in verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things be right, and I hate every false way. Verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. He thought the word of God a treasure above all gold, or above all worldly possessions. He loved His words. He loved His laws. He loved His commands. Look at Deuteronomy 6:5. He fulfilled the law of God. He loved God. He loved His word. He loved every part of Him. He loved everything that God loved and hated everything God hated. Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Oh, David did that. David did that. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his might. Another passage, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might, with all thy heart. Another passage says, with all thy mind. Oh, David did that. But why are we loyal to America? We love freedom. We love its heritage. We love how God has protected it and blessed it. A place where we are free. And also because it's our home. Amen? I don't know about you, but I hope we're the type of American that any person steps foot on our shores, I'll go grab a gun and I'll run out there even though I'm not in the army. Amen? I hope you're that type of person. Because that's the type of people that made our country free in the Revolutionary War. They wanted to be free. They believed they had the right from God to be free. And we do. the freedom that is in Christ. But what about when God calls? When God is in need of you. When God is in need of you to further His kingdom. When God is in need of you to witness. When God is in need of you to go and to stand and be loyal for the truth. Where are we? Are we there? Now, I hope this would be the case, that if you're out with your spouse, maybe some of you aren't married yet, you'll understand this when it comes. And you know, I've been out there, and I married a very beautiful woman. And I'm not biased, she just is. She is the most beautiful woman alive. She's a very beautiful woman. And some men out there who have no manners or not gentlemen at all. I don't call them gentlemen, I call them men. We can call them other things, but it would be nice. But then they like to oogle and to look at my wife and kind of, hey. Well, you know what? Do I just say, hey, that's fine, you know, let him do it. No, that doesn't happen. They get a look from me like, she's mine. Look that way. Right? We're like that, guys. I hope so. Amen? Yes, right? I think so. Better raise your hand right now because you're going to get the couch when you get home. Okay, good. All right. Now, we're like that, right? And why? Because we love them. And we're loyal. We see that as a threat. It is, by the way. I hope you see that. And then the ladies, too, that your husband's out there, you married the most handsome man in the world, right? Right? And then a lady, or I won't say a lady, a woman, I don't know what you call them. But anyway, an individual is looking at them. And by the way, it can be either or today. That's the sick part of it. It can be either or today. That happened to me. Oh, anyway. So, but then what happens? Your wife gives them a look like, drop dead. He's mine. Why? Because she loves you. Amen? There's a loyalty there. And when someone stands up and proclaims that God is not a good God, and the Christian says nothing. Or when someone is taking the names Lord in vain and blaspheming the name of God, the Christian says nothing. That's not politically correct. Aren't you going to stand up for God? Aren't you going to stand up for His Word? Aren't you going to stand up for His truth? Oh, the Bible is just a pack of lies. No. It has the words of life. The words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, has the words of everlasting life, of all truth right here. But Christians say nothing. And a Christian that says nothing stands for nothing. A Christian that doesn't stand for anything is not loyal. A Christian that stands for nothing is not loyal, does not love God like they claim to. All Christians claim to love God, but when trial comes or when those situations come, it separates who is loyal, who is not. It's going to cost me something. Absolutely right. Anything worth having is going to cost something. Amen? Freedom isn't free. But when you truly love something or someone, you sacrifice for them. You spend time. You are loyal to them. But will we act as loyal subjects to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Will we stand up for Him? Will we be loyal to Him? The call is tonight, pick a side. There is no middle ground. Well, I'm just going to be on the fence. I'm going to be on one side or the other. No, you have to be either on God's side or the world's side. And if so, well, if I'm not sure if I'm on God's side or not, you're not on His side. Because when you're on His side, you know it. Amen? If you're standing with the Word of God, you can know you're on the right. Well, I don't know which side I'm on. Why don't you ask God? He'll let you know which side you're on. If you're asking that question, you don't know which side you're on, you need some spiritual sight and some spiritual wisdom. Because the world is deceptive. The world says, well, we're on God's side when they are not. So tonight, which side are you on? You need to pick a side and stay on it. Be loyal to Christ, for He shed His blood to purchase your salvation on Calvary's tree. He has been loyal to us. We need to be loyal to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight in this invitation time. Oh, Lord, I pray that we'd stand loyal to You. Many here tonight have already picked a side. They are stand with You, and they stand loyal tonight. And I pray that this message tonight was an encouragement to them to keep standing when it seems like no one else is. Oh, Lord, that we would stand true and stand tall and stand boldly for Thy truth, as David did. He made a proclamation of allegiance. Oh, Lord, I pray that if maybe we have not done that, or maybe we have drifted away from that dedication and from that allegiance, I pray, Lord, that we return to the place of right and doing right in Your sight. I pray that You bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.